from PiratePods.com, and I'm in Las Vegas outside the House of Blues with She Wants Revenge.
Hey, what's up? This is Adam.
And this is Justin.
I've got a mind to just tell you.
You're on the Nylon tour, and this is your first tour after becoming sort of an independent band, correct? How do you guys feel about that?
Really happy. I feel like this is like the most relaxed and fun that we've had since we started as a band, honestly.
Does it make it really difficult to have to go out and do things on your own? Or is it, I mean, after leaving a label, do you find it difficult to do it? Like, just go out?
I think there's certain situations for certain bands that it might be rather difficult to do, and there's definitely certain situations for us where it might be difficult to do, but this particular tour and touring in the States, for us, we don't really need a major label to help us do that. Sometimes you find yourself needing tour support when you go overseas, stuff like that, but there's ways around that as well. But for us, fortunately, at this point in our careers, we have a big enough fan base where we can do it all by ourselves.
Well, I would think one of the reasons that you would want to like go off on yourself is for creative freedom. So what can your fans and listeners expect from new releases and what you guys are working on now that would differ from like She Wants Revenge and This Is Forever?
You know, it wasn't so much like creative freedom. I mean, we've always done whatever we want. That's the thing. It's like if it didn't have a major label or any kind of label sticker on the first or second record, I mean, I don't think that there's anything to suggest that it in any way like is a major label type band or anything, because I think that like everything that, while there was other dance music out that was kind of becoming popular when we first came out, the music we made was decidedly different than a lot of other stuff, and like definitely not commercial by any stretch of the imagination. Like especially like the song that was sort of the breakthrough song at like radio for us was definitely not a commercial song or ever intended to be. So like we've always just done whatever we wanted and never cared what a record company thought about it. And we only really stopped wanting to be with the record company when the record company stopped really like caring about us and stopped doing what we needed them to do to take us to the next level. As far as like we wanted to be able to tour all over the world, and we have, but not in any great amounts. And so, like, it's no fault of theirs other than, like, their decisions are made on business and ours are usually made on creative. And so when those two things could no longer coexist together, we just kind of had to bail. And, like, they were not, like, terribly upset by it. I mean, they have, you know, like, record companies, like, it's just a business like anything else. And it's not in any way evil or anything. It's just, like, they never ever said, you guys have to do this. They never understood us, so they couldn't really tell us what to do. They were, like, first they didn't care about us, then we got on the radio, and then we started selling records. They were like, great, whatever you're doing, it's working, keep doing it. Yeah. And then when, in their eyes, it stopped working, they kind of let up on us. But to us, nothing ever stopped. It's just like, we don't care whether we're on the radio or not. We're perfectly happy playing in front of the kids that appreciate what we do. So no, I don't think that our music's going to be any different as a result of being on it, except for like there's this intangible thing that you can't say that you feel. It's like if you get out of like a relationship, like, and you've been in with somebody for a long time and it's not the best one, you suddenly like feel refreshed and like new. I think that we feel like definitely like it's a new start, and we feel like really fresh and excited to do whatever we want. But it's not because we weren't allowed to do it before. It's just because it's like a new beginning, I think.
I've talked to other bands who have also started their own label and kind of gone off on their own. And I'm just wondering if this is going to become more of a trend in the music business. How do you think that'll affect music in general, or for up-and-coming bands who are trying to make it, if at all?
Because the way that the music industry is today, and the way that you really can do it on your own if you do the right things. And I think that it's just going to make it easier for bands to do it themselves. Anybody, if you make good music and you figure out whatever it is that works for you, you don't need a major label. Which just means that anybody can do it. there's just so many different types of music out there, and like I think major labels seem to only focus on ones that in their eyes are going to work for them on the radio or something, but like it's not like that anymore. It's like I talk to so many kids that are like, you know, we found out you guys are starting your own label, and like how's that working, because I kind of want to do the same thing too. And obviously we're in a different position than like some kid who's just starting out, but not that far, you know, like who knows what would have happened if we had done it on our own. I think we probably would have had the same results, because we just went out on the road and started playing shows. Unfortunately for us, there were kids out there that, you know, at first there was 15 kids, and the next time there was 100, and the next time maybe like 1,000. So I think it's just, it's a good step in the right direction, I think, just for music in general, because now middle America and executives at record labels aren't going to decide what gets signed and what gets pushed towards radio. I think it's just a kind of a open ball game for whoever out there wants to be creative and figure out a way, or the new model. And there's so many different ways of promoting your own music, and no one's really figured out how to do that yet in like this new music world, because all the major labels are kind of crumbling and people are trying to figure out new ways to do it. And I think, you know, if kids just follow their hearts and make music that turns them on and figure out ways to get it out there and tour, anybody can have their own label and anybody can be successful if they figure out how to do it.
Tear You Apart was it was the very first song that I downloaded for free as one of those iTunes teaser tracks. And another trend that's going on are a bunch of big bands are just giving away their music for free. What do you guys think about that?
If you're in an independent label situation like us, where you're pretty much self-funding your whole thing, that the thing that's best to like, so that like any money that we make essentially goes back into the whole thing, us being on the road, us touring, us recording records, the whole like operation of like being in a band at a certain point costs a certain amount of money. So for us, that's amazing. We just had a visitor who came up, and I hope that was audible, because that was not even English spoken. Poor guy. So basically, like, any money that we make goes back into what it is that we do. So for us, we feel that there's a way to, for everything that we sell, there's also a certain amount we can give away. I think it's easier for a major label to give things away, but they're less likely to, because they're kind of so concerned about the bottom line and profit margins, and that they just don't. They charge way too much for music, and the whole way they do it is kind of backwards. We like the idea of giving things away for free, and I'm sure there will be a point when music is almost entirely free, but for now we do still have to charge for the majority of it, so that we can go to the places that we haven't played yet. When kids write us on MySpace or website and say, hey, when are you coming back to Brazil? You know, you haven't been to Paris in over a year and a half. When are you coming back? Like, if we only give our music away for free, we can't go there. But if we, like, charge for, like, an album and then give away a song and some remixes and B-sides, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a balance to be struck there that's fair for everybody. But, I don't know, I think that the more music that you actually have out there for free, like, the more it's just really good, like, for getting the word out about you. It's not a bad thing. In no way till you cannot speak, and you leave to have a cigarette and these get weak. Escape was just a nod and a casual wave. Obsessed about it heavy for the next 2 days. It's only just a crush, it'll go away. It's just like all the others, it'll go.
Tear You Apart blew up commercially so quickly. Were you guys prepared for the success of that? Is there anything you wish you had known then that you know now?
I wish we would have documented more of our touring. I wish we would have, like, taken more pictures and filmed things to just like to have, you know, we have Adam's taken thousands and thousands of photographs, but I wish we had more. I wish we had videos of like us playing in the small clubs in the beginning, like, and the things that we've done, because I mean that's about it. But other than that, no, I mean, we kind of like when we first like made a record, we were like, I think everybody who goes in and writes anything that's even remotely catchy and not just noise rock to some level is like, this is good, this is the single, or this is a hit. And like, you could be in your bedroom with your friend and write something and go, that's really catchy, that's really good, I think people are gonna like it. But you never, it never really happens. So I think there's that part of us, a part of us that was like, yeah, like we wanted to appeal to lots of people, we wouldn't change our music to do so, but our role model wasn't like some hipster indie band that like has like, you know, 2,000 people nationally that knows about them and they're the coolest thing in the world. We were like, wow, like the groups that we really looked up to when we were kids were like, you know, like Depeche Mode, and like, they weren't necessarily an indie band, they had a really large following. Of course, we never thought that we'd get to that level, but we had big dreams for like the band, because who wouldn't want to play in front of lots of people who knew your music, you know? And a lot of those things happen. I don't think we were prepared to play in front of 40,000 people opening for Depeche Mode. But when the time came, we weren't not prepared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't like right when we started playing shows, the song took off. We had been playing for a while on the road. I think we were playing probably like 6 months, just traveling around the States playing shows for, I think, you know, like I said before, 10 kids, 15 kids. So we had a little bit of, you know, Justin's been in other bands and he's toured before. I had never been in a band before, so it was my first experience touring. But, you know, having done those 6 months, having spent time in a van, having spent time loading and unloading our own stuff, and like really finding out what it's like to be on tour at that early stage of a band, there was a little preparation as far as, you know, for us as a band playing music and getting out there. So it wasn't like, you know, our first show was some huge radio festival or, you know, everybody knew our music. There was a time where nobody knew really anything about us, and it was a really important time for us. So there was a little bit of preparation, not that we thought we'd ever blow up. We were just getting out there and trying to get our music out there. So
yeah.
I mean, when you record an album, you want people to hear it. If like no one ever heard it, you'd be bummed. I mean, there's like this thing that's like this really negative self-limiting concept that kind of sprung from like punk revival in the 90s post-Nirvana and kind of lingered through indie rock, which is like that it's not good to have lots of people like you, or that if lots of people like something, that it's somehow something inherently wrong with it or like not real. And there's lots of stuff that's commercial that's totally fake and bullshit, and everybody knows that. But like, everybody who records an album wants people to like it, and the more people like it, the better. So obviously, in your wildest dreams, you're like, wow, that'd be amazing if like, you know, lots of people liked it. But it usually doesn't happen. We got really lucky. You know, we were talking to the band The Virgins that's on tour with us, and they're from New York City. And we were talking, and they like sold out like Mercury Lounge, and we were like, that's amazing. Like, we remember when we did that, like that was like the biggest feeling. It was so like, oh my god, like we sold out the Mercury Lounge in New York City, and it felt huge. Like when we sold out the Troubadour in Los Angeles, then like, yes, we got really fortunate because we were also able to sell out places where there's thousands of people coming to see us. But we don't take that for granted. Like, it's still exciting when you go to a place and you see a room full of kids. It doesn't matter if it's like a sold out little club or sold out big theater. It's all the same, but of course you want to play for lots of people, and it's just the nature of like when you make something that you're proud of, you want to share it with people. So we like never thought, oh yeah, like, you know, we're going to be huge or something. We never thought we'd be on the radio the way we were. I mean, it was just, there was a time for like a whole winter where you turn on the radio in our hometown, and like every time you turn on the radio, we're on it, and it was really weird. Like, but like every time that would happen, I'd turn off the radio because it was weird. I wouldn't sit there and listen, drive down the street to it. It's very awkward. The flip side of that is when you're not on there, you're like, why aren't they playing us?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like human things that most people don't really talk about because they think it's like bad to be in a popular band. But it kind of goes back to the thing of what you were saying earlier too, like in a weird way of like, what happens when major labels are out of the picture? Are more bands going to do things on their own? It's like, I was just looking on MySpace, checking out the small bands, and there's like millions of views of their page. And then it's like 2 years ago, American Idol was dominating the charts and the airwaves with these bands that weren't even real, that were like these manufactured things. And now they can't even convince people to watch that show. It's failing so bad. So if major labels are failing and American Idol's failing, and like indie bands like that are guy-girl duos in the middle of like England have millions of views on their page of the music they made on their laptop, it's pretty awesome. Like, that kind of inspires me, you know.
How do you guys think your sound is best experienced? Do you think there's a difference between seeing you guys live or under the headphones or in a dance club?
I don't know. I like our recordings, but I have to say that, like, a really good friend of ours the other day said, you know, like, after being on tour with you guys, like, it's hard for me to listen to the recordings because I have such a feeling of what it's like to see you live. I think the recordings are really great, like, on headphones. I think the recordings are really great in a dance club because, I mean, that's kind of how, first and foremost, we always sort of make them for a dance club. But live, it's a different thing. I mean, it's pretty powerful live, bigger.
Do you guys have any side projects you're working on that you'd like to maybe go off and do on your own or incorporate into She Wants Revenge later on?
We come from a hip-hop background, so whenever there's time, we work on beats, whatever kind of beats. You know, we might find out that somebody's looking for a track for their album and we'll work on something like that, or we might just be in the studio inspired to do some hip-hop shit like we used to do back in the day. I started working on a solo record where I'm going to feature as many of my favorite female vocalists as I can get on there, and that's going rather slow, but hopefully that'll be the first release other than our own music on our own label. When there's time in the studio, which there hasn't been that much of lately other than doing our own music, kind of go back to doing some hip-hop stuff or just clubby kind of beats, or, you know, sometimes people ask us to do remixes.
Production too, like, we just produced a song for a friend of ours band called Io Echo, and we're gonna produce a song for another band that we're friends with in Los Angeles called Astra Heights. That's it, just like, we have a recording studio and we have friends whose music we love, so we may as well get in there and, you know, help out if we can.
Is there a particular artist that you guys would really like to collaborate with?
I think we've spoken about trying to get people in the studio, and it's only really been a couple times, and I think one name that came up at one point was trying to do something with Martin Gore. I've mentioned to Justin, I think it would be rad if we did something with Brian from Placebo, who he's worked with before.
Yeah, we've talked about doing that before. We were supposed to do a collaboration, actually, like a reworking of like something from our first record, but we'll probably do something with Brian from Placebo in the future. He's a good friend of ours. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, kind of like, if it's organic and it happens, it's kind of then like, that'd be great, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Well, Justin, you had mentioned that you guys are working on a radio station, so would you guys want to talk about that real quick?
Oh, yeah. We taped the pilot episode of Revenge Radio on Left of Center, Channel 26 on Sirius Satellite Radio, that aired on Valentine's Day, and now it looks like we're probably going to do like a bi-weekly radio show, Revenge Radio, on the same channel. So hopefully that'll happen.
All right, well, I always end my interviews with the same quick three questions, so if you guys wouldn't mind. The first is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Was super bad recently.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think that actually the term I overuse the most is amazing.
I kind of say amazing a lot as well. I don't use a lot of slang, and if I do, it's something from the 80s that somebody makes fun of me for, totally, or rad, or not in an ironic way, in a way that I've just been saying it since the 80s.
Yeah, that's all right. It's awesome.
Exactly.
What's your drink of choice?
Like, any kind of drink?
Yeah.
I don't know. Coffee, I think.
And how do you guys feel about eyeliner?
About what?
Eyeliner.
On?
Just in general.
I don't wear makeup, but I mean, you know. Eyeliner's cool. Hey.
I like seeing eyeliner run down a girl's face.
That's depressing.
But not in a sad way.
in a happy way.
Well, you can be happy and cry.
That's true. Is there anything you guys would like to say to your fans listening to close this out?
We love you guys.
That's good.
Thank you for the support. It means a lot to us.
And the